The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Wow, this is pretty exciting. Ever since I was born many years ago in a manger in Ballard, I've only lived in a democracy, but starting tomorrow, I'm going to live in an entirely different and new kind of nation. I don't know what this brave new future is going to look like, but I know it's going to be very different. It's Election Day. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to the Big Show. Very busy afternoon on this final day. You still have a few hours to get those votes in, and let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
We'll have an election night special this evening, 7 to 9 p.m. Dave Ross and I will be live. We'll do it live! And we'll watch the votes coming in. The first vote drop here in Washington State. We'll have a pretty good idea of what's happening around the country. We'll be on from 7 to 9 p.m. But what seems to be clear is that democracy, which is what those of us who were native born to this country, is the only real political system in which we've lived. It comes to an end after today. I don't know what we got tomorrow, but I've been listening to enough experts, and I know that after today, if things go the way I expect they will, no more democracy.
Democracy is at stake in this election, Nevada.
He made it clear that democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake.
Our democracy is at stake.
But the future of our democracy is at stake.
We all know democracy is at stake.
This is the most important election coming up because democracy is at stake.
Nothing less than the future of democracy is at stake.
Nothing less than the future of democracy is at stake. So no matter how the vote goes tonight, if it goes for the Democrats in a shocking upset, we will still have democracy in America. But if for some reason the Republicans win the House, or heaven forbid, the Senate as well, then democracy comes to an end in America. It's very exciting, isn't it? I can't wait to see what our new overlords have in mind for us under the new political system that will be America. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's at stake as well. We found out, for example, over the last several days, we have found out just how important this election is because we've seen politicians telling us. Now, I will say some of the politicians have been wildly out of touch. One of them, for example, Patty Murray, who's trying to hold on. She seemed to think that there was only one issue on the minds of people in this state.
She did not hear anything about gun violence. Gun violence is a part of this, about gun violence, to address the issue of gun violence. On the issue of gun violence and what causes that, to do research on what is causing gun violence, to reduce the issue of gun violence.
Never once did Patty Murray talk about criminals who commit violence, or about the drug wars, about the gangs that are fighting over turf, about our wide-open southern border allowing fentanyl to kill hundreds of people in our state. No, no, no. To her, it's all an inanimate object, which is why Patty Murray looks so desperately out of touch. Jay Inslee, in a state where abortion is legal and will remain legal, he also couldn't possibly have sounded more out of touch.
Washington State was a pro-choice state. Washington State is a pro-choice state, is always a pro-choice state. Of these anti-choice, dictatorial politicians who want to control a woman's right of choice in our state to abortion services, the right of a woman's choice in the state of Washington.
Again, that was all he would talk about leading up to this. And phony Secretary of State issues like we had yesterday, where he had a little theater project with Tina Podlodowski. But Jay Inslee and Patty Murray showed just how out of touch they are. Because the issue, of course, is the economy. It is the crime that's ripping our state apart. It is the number of illegals seeking safe harbor in a sanctuary state. It is the amount of drugs that are killing our children. But they were so far off base that they deserve the trouncing that is coming. I don't know if Patty Murray is going to win or lose. She still seems to be a slight favorite over Tiffany Smiley. By the way, Tiffany Smiley will make her closing argument on this election day right here on the Dory Monson Show, right after the bottom of the hour news at 12:30. We will have an in-depth interview with Tiffany Smiley on this election day. Now, we also know from the left-wing media outlets what is at stake today. I had this for you on Friday. MSNBC has a presidential historian named Michael Beschloss, and he explained that if the Republicans win today, your children will die.
And a historian 50 years from now, if historians are allowed to write in this country, and if there are still free publishing houses and a free press, which I'm not certain of, but if that is true, a historian will say what was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
Yes.
We're on the edge of a brutal authoritarian system, and it could be a week away.
Yes, starting tomorrow, your children will be arrested and killed in America because the Democrats have run a horrible 2 years in charge in America. And as their penalty for that. Now, what he didn't say is, who is going to arrest and kill your children? Is it going to be the Democrats out of spite? Is it going to be the Republicans in some weird celebration? They're going to arrest and kill children. He never said which side. You know, down in some of those Central American countries where they have an election night, and when a certain candidate wins, they fire machine guns in the air. That's my machine gun impression. And then inevitably, some of those bullets come down. What goes up must come down. And they land in somebody's head, and people often die on the ground. Maybe it'll be part of some wild Banana Republic machine gun celebration tonight. I don't know. But what I know is that your children are going to be arrested and killed starting tomorrow, according to MSNBC presidential historian Michael Beschloss. Anderson Cooper has been telling me that this is going, oh, man. For Hispanic people who have left the Democrat Party in droves and are supporting Republicans at a record rate, it's going to be bad for the Hispanics, according to Anderson Cooper.
The number of Hispanic eligible voters has increased by nearly 5 million since 2018. But Spanish-speaking communities are also being flooded with disinformation and conspiracy theories, much of it through social media.
We are sitting in a home where I used to break bread with Republicans who have now been radicalized.
For some Latinos here in South Florida, election lies have ruptured friendships and split families.
You can see this information in English, and in 2 or 3 days, you can see this information with captions in Spanish.
One of the challenges of tackling Spanish disinformation is that so much of it is spread on the messaging platform WhatsApp. Messages are encrypted, so fact-checked labels can't be used like they are on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Okay, so disinformation is going to confuse Hispanic people. Seems kind of racist on the part of CNN and Anderson Cooper to suggest that a large portion of our population just doesn't understand stuff. The reason they're voting this way, they just don't get it. But that's been the new storyline the last 24 hours. A day or two ago, it was children are going to be arrested and killed. Now the new storyline is disinformation, misinformation. And on CNN, it was how it was going to affect Hispanic people. On MSNBC, they told us how it's going to affect black people.
Where is the black vote for you right now? Because some observers have said it's not as enthusiastic as it was last time around.
Again, this is a question of who's doing the polling and who's doing the counting. I do not believe it's because of a deep well of enthusiasm for my opponent. We know that Black voters are often discounted. And unfortunately, this year, Black men have been a very targeted population for misinformation.
I think that...
First of all, how racist is that? A Democrat saying that the reason she's losing is because Black people have been targeted for misinformation, and particularly Black men. And what she's saying is that, I guess, they're easier to fool, according to some Democrats. Black men are easy to fool with misinformation. That's a horribly racist thing to say. We're all smart people. Black, Hispanic, white, Republican, Democrat, we're all smart people. And we can all figure out if somebody's trying to pull the wool over our eyes. But now their new rap is that they're losing the Hispanic and the Black vote because they are more easily susceptible to mis and disinformation.
Stacey is spot on with that. I listen as my kids watch NBA highlights and whatever else they watch on YouTube. I hear the misinformation being piped in.
Ah, they're doing it through basketball highlights. That's how the Republicans have stolen this election, if they steal it. Through NBA highlights. This is getting crazier and crazier with each passing moment. And then CNN, they did a whole segment on the difference between misinformation and disinformation so that they could explain to the geniuses who watch CNN how susceptible everybody is to mis and dis.
We know there are different kinds of falsehoods out there related to Election Day. Some of them set to go viral on that day. And this is where there's a really important distinction between misinformation and disinformation.
Yeah. Misinformation is, you know...
I like the anchor. As soon as she goes down the room. So we got to look at misinformation and Like, he knows what she said. She's spewing nonsense. What she's saying doesn't mean a thing, but the anchor is pretending because she's his guest.
On that day. And this is where there's a really important distinction between misinformation and disinformation. Yeah.
Misinformation is, you know, people might share false information mistakenly by accident. Disinformation is false information that is created to deceive.
Disinformation is deliberate. One of the most sort of sad phenomenons, right, is in 2016, most of that disinformation came from outside the country. Now, sadly, a lot of it comes deliberately from inside this country.
It sounds to me like the Democrats are laying the groundwork for not accepting election results. They're claiming already before the elections happen, before they know the results, they're claiming that tonight, however it goes, is going to be the result of misinformation and disinformation. And then let me go back to some of the other messages that they're spewing out. Okay, I told you about Michael Beschloss. Let me play this again. This is one of my favorite soundbites.
And a historian 50 years from now, if historians are allowed to write in this country, and if there are still free publishing houses and a free press, which I'm not certain of, but if that is true, a historian will say what was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
Yeah. So kids are going to be arrested and killed. And you'd think, well, that's just one whack job, MSNBC presidential historian. But no, that is also becoming a storyline that they're all pushing out there. For example, Meathead, Rob Reiner, over the weekend.
The other side, reality doesn't mean anything. They're only interested in power, and they're only interested in, and they'll do anything to get the power. They're willing to kill, literally kill, to get the power. You can't have a conversation with them. The only thing we can do is try to hold on to the House, add a couple of Senate seats. It's going to be very hard. But if we don't do that, this might be the last election we have in a democratic democracy. In a democracy.
Yeah, this is the last election. Man, it's too bad. It's been fun. It's been a fun little ride in America. The third most powerful Dem in the House, James Clyburn, he agrees.
Democracy will be ended. The world will continue to exist. The world was here before Hitler. The world was here after Hitler. That's what we're saying.
See, you're Hitler if you don't vote Democrat. You're Hitler.
No, the world will not end. The kind of world we have, the kind of country we have. We've got to decide how do we want to exist in this world. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Hitler. Hope you're proud of yourself with your votes, you Nazis. Okay, then final word goes to Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat from New York. And he says, instead of voting for Republicans tonight, you did have another option. And this is what you should have done. Because a lot of people are voting because of inflation, because they can't make ends meet. And you had two choices. You could vote Republican, which is a Nazi-like child-killing thing to do, or you could have and should have done this.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a family where, you know, if the gas price went up, the food budget went down. So by this time of the week, we'd be eating Chef Boyardee if that budget wasn't going to change, right? So that's what families have to do.
Okay. See, that's what you should have done. You had two choices. If you didn't like the gas prices and the grocery prices and the mismanagement of the southern border and all of that, you could vote for a change tonight, or you could have just started eating Chef Boyardee. That's what you should have done. And then the children would all still be alive tomorrow instead of the carnage that's going to happen, according to Meathead and Michael Schlosh's Beschlosh predictions. Hope you can live with yourselves. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, and I've only scratched the surface of the audio that I have. But we're going to take a break from the audio because her final statement, Tiffany Smiley, she's going to make it right here on the Dory Monson Show. And it is right after we check the news as we rumble along here on this election day. Well, here we are finally after months, years really, of build-up. Election Day has arrived, and there are still some races that appear to be really up for grabs, and one of them is a very important one, both locally and nationally. It is for the United States Senate, 30-year, five-term incumbent, Patty Murray, being challenged by this person, Tiffany Smiley, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Tiffany, it's great to talk with you again.
Yes, thank you, Dory. Appreciate it.
The last day after all these months and years, what kind of emotions are you going through right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good. You know, I just ended last night in Tacoma my 46-stop tour where I've been on the road on a bus for the last 15 days. And the enthusiasm, the momentum on the ground is huge. Hundreds and hundreds of people have come out to our events. I've been in big towns, small towns, all over Washington State. People are ready for change. And so I feel good. I am honored to represent Washington State. This is a beautiful state. I love this state so much, and we deserve so much better. So I'm very excited. I'm optimistic, and I'm thrilled for Washington State. And it's time to turn the page here.
Tell me a little bit more about your bus tour, Tiffany, because Washington is, if people do get on the ground and they go from the Pacific Ocean to the highland deserts of central and southeastern Washington, the farmland, the riverland, I mean, it is one of the most geographically and politically diverse places in the country. Tell me some stories from your bus tour of the people you met and the things that you saw and what you learned.
You know, Washington State is so beautiful and dynamic, first of all, and it's just incredible, you know, to be able to take our bus and go all over the place. You're right, from the ocean to the desert plain, all the way up into Bellingham. But there are so many stories to share, but I think the ones that stick out to me for sure was, you know, our first event in Maple Valley, packed wall to wall, hundreds of people. And a gentleman came up and he said, I didn't know who I was voting for, so I came here. And he goes, I know exactly who I'm voting for. You know, there's heartbreaking stories too, Dory, in every room. Someone came up to me to share a heartbreaking story about their family in the fentanyl crisis. One mother came up and said, that she lost both of her sons this summer. One was murdered. He was homeless and was murdered, and there's still no answers. And the other one overdosed on drugs. And she's like, please fight. Like, please help us. So there's heartbreaking stories like that. And then there's really amazing stories where this young girl, I just saw her in the back of the room, hundreds of people, and she was waving, and I just waved at her to come up. Like, I could just feel her energy, and they said, come up here. You know, she was 10 years old, and she had written me this special note, just saying, like, I look up to you, and thank you for being a strong woman. Her name was Ellie Mae, and just her energy and her enthusiasm. She was like, thank you for fighting for us. So from every scope, from every walk of life, people have come to my events. Even some when I was over in Longview and Long Beach, some farmers came up and just said, you know, we've always voted Democrat. Senator Murray used to care about us out here, and now we haven't seen her. So we showed up for you because we know that you will show up and fight for us. So story after story, Washington State is we deserve so much better, Dory. We are such a beautiful, dynamic state. Senator Murray, 30 years, you know, and that's what I tell every crowd, 30 years and this is where we are. In every room, I've shared that we are more alike than we are different, and that we can truly accomplish incredible things when we come together, and certainly can deliver results, for positive results for Washington families.
Do you remember, Tiffany, I don't know when or who the first person came up to you, or if you did this yourself, and suggested, you know what, you should run for Senate in 2022. How long ago was that? Was it something you came up with yourself? Was it somebody who approached you and, you know, semi-recruited you for this? What was the genesis of all of this?
Yeah, you know, I think truly our family's fight began in 2005 when my husband was blinded in Iraq by a suicide car bomb. And then I, you know, took on the VA and was able to work hard in just my free time and bring meaningful reform to veterans and their families. So we've built a lot of different relationships across the political spectrum, both my husband, me and my husband. And so I don't think there was ever this real defining moment. Our families always just sort of talked about what we could do to serve and what we can do to make this country. And of course, we love Washington State, our state, better. But it was truly my husband who was the one who came to me, because I was trying to decide. I'm like, I don't know, Scotty. I mean, I'm a mom of three young boys, and what our boys went through, you know, through the pandemic, certainly fired me up. And I was like, enough is enough. Senator Murray was nowhere to be found. Crime ravaged our streets. She was nowhere to be found. She was a champion of mandates and lockdowns. There was no one fighting for our kids. And it was my husband who just said, you know, Tiffany, there's one person who can beat Patty Murray in Washington State. And I hate to tell you, honey, but it's you. So I'm behind you all the way. Like, if we're ready to do this, let's do this. And let's stand up for our great state and, of course, our amazing country that our family has served and sacrificed so greatly for.
And did you buy that on day one? Did you accept that as a reality, or was it just a growing reality as you continued down this road?
Yeah, I think it's a growing reality. No. I got into this race knowing I could beat her, certainly. And I didn't need to look at polling. I didn't need to have million-dollar backers behind me. I knew it was the right thing to do. And our family certainly is no stranger to building from the ground up, and building coalitions and believing in the impossible with the odds stacked against you. So that's sort of been my whole life trajectory. So that was nothing new. But I didn't know how people would respond. You know, you sort of take that risk and you take that leap, and I didn't know how the people of Washington State would respond. Would they be ready for someone like me? Would they resonate with my story and my message and my vision on how we could be better here in Washington State? And I'm in awe. I'm truly in awe of just the amazing people in this state, how they have coalesced behind our campaign. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, are all behind us. And it's truly remarkable.
How has the whole process changed you? Because I know a lot of nurses, and the people I know don't go into nursing for selfish reasons. They don't go in for any kind of praise. They go in because they love to take care of people. You mentioned the first night of the bus tour, thousands of people cheering for you in Maple Valley. That has to change a person. I think politics fundamentally changes almost every individual who is a part of it. It's just to what degree are they changed. How has all of this changed you, the process of going through this?
Certainly it's not the nursing career I ever thought I was going to have. but you are right. I just wanted to help people, and I was able to stand up and be a voice for my husband when he didn't have one, and then go on and, take on meaningful reform for thousands of veterans. But, you know, that first event in Maple Valley, I was humbled. It actually brought tears to my eyes. To stand there and see so many people a part of what we've created here in Washington State, it was humbling. It was really a moment of intense gratitude as well and hope. I had incredible hope that night, and truly, you know, my husband was standing there next to me, and it was just a moment that there is hope for Washington State and for this country. It was a feeling of deep, immense gratitude, and I had to fight back tears to share my message of how grateful I was that everyone showed up and believed in us and believed in our message. So I think it's just shown me once again, the power of bringing people together for a greater cause to make an impact in other people's lives.
Okay, so now going into tonight, we still don't know what's going to happen. You're still considered a bit of a long shot, but I think people have realized that you have all the momentum on your side. So what has to happen when those first votes and then throughout the evening and into tomorrow and the next day as votes are being counted, what has to happen for you to knock off a 30-year incumbent like Patty Murray?
Yeah, you know, my team is tracking it all, and I'm, ended my events yesterday in Tacoma, connecting with hundreds of people in Tacoma. So we'll continue to watch the numbers come in. You're right, momentum is on our side, and we've seen that trajectory in the polling as well. Most recent poll had me starting to edge out a lead against Patty Murray, so every single vote counts. I've encouraged people at every single stop that this year when you vote, it cannot just be you. You need to go get your family, your friends, your coworkers, your dentist. This is not about politics. This is about turning the page for Washington State. So every single vote will count, and we are tracking it, starting tonight and till whenever it ends. But I have a strong team. I have a strong team here on the ground here in Washington State where we're tracking it all. So very excited about where we're at and what we've done for Washington State.
Do you need to see the numbers break a certain way? I mean, do you have some targets in mind, both in the King County vote drop and around the state? Do you have some target numbers in mind that would indicate that it's going to be a good night for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my team's tracking all that. I'm not really involved in all the targeting numbers. I have a team that is certainly tracking all that. But we are trending in a good direction. Our enthusiasm is strong for our voters, for those swing voters, for independents. So we're tracking all that. And, the enthusiasm for change is definitely strong. I certainly felt that on the ground all the way up to the very end of this race.
Well, if you listening are one of the people who's not put your ballot in yet, you got about 7 more hours. And you can get that done. And if you want to see some fresh blood in the Senate and in Washington, D.C. and in Washington State, Tiffany Smiley has you've run a heck of a campaign, Tiffany. It's going to be interesting to see how things unfold this evening.
Yes, we're excited. It's time for change in Washington State. And you're exactly right. Get your ballot in. Every single vote counts, and we are counting every single vote. Every single legal vote. So please get your ballots in. This election matters for Washington State and the future of the state and country.
Got it. All right. Tiffany, that is your final statement as you wait the vote count there. I really appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Dorian.
All right. Tiffany Smiley running for U.S. Senate against Patty Murray. We'll find out beginning in about 8 hours how that vote is going, at least the early vote count. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Continue to hear your thoughts on what you just heard from Tiffany Smiley. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. What we're seeing is hysteria amped up to a 12, because 11 just wasn't enough. And all the audio that I played in the big lead today, children are going to die. It's the end of our democracy. I don't know where you go from here if you are the Democrats and if things go well. I'll be curious to watch tonight as the vote count comes in how quickly we're going to get an idea of what's happening in our state. And the reason I ask that is because we are being told that the White House itself is saying that it could take weeks before we get all the votes counted. And I will tell you, I hate this aspect of polling, especially in Washington state. Because for a couple hundred years, Americans voted and we got the results of the election on election night. But now with the increase in absentee ballots and mail-in voting, now they say, well, it takes us days and days and days to count all the absentee votes. Here's what I've long believed should happen if we're going to stay with this system. The deadline for getting in a mail-in vote or an absentee vote, it should be so that it can be counted and verified by 8 o'clock tonight. And then they can dump all those votes into the count at 8:15. We're expecting to get the first local vote count at about 8:15. And then they can just have a huge tabulation, but they should move up the date. So you can drop them off in person still on election day, but if you're mailing them in, they have to arrive before a Tuesday deadline. And I know that's dicier and dicier with the U.S. Postal Service because delivery time for all mails taking longer and longer. But, you know, here's what the White House said. This is the White House spokesperson on how long it could take to count ballots in America.
It took 2 weeks to call every state. In modern elections, more and more ballots are being cast in early voting and also by mail. And many states don't start counting those ballots until...
Okay, I want to just break that down. It takes 2 to 3 weeks because more and more states are counting in early voting and by mail. Early voting should already be counted. And the by mail, they should be able to count quickly. But this 2 or 3 weeks, especially when King County overwhelms the rest of Washington state, and we've had lots of examples of where races have appeared to be going one day, one way, and then King County elections says, oh no, massive change in the final count. It happens days or weeks after an election. It denies credibility in elections. Horrible way to do things right now. Okay, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too. Text me at 888-973-CHIRO. We'll check the news, and then the Fastest 15 is coming up next.